Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone, you're listening to part two of the interview with Mr. Frank McComb of Booby Scoop Music. The question that we left off with Mr. Frank McComb was pertaining to the industry and the current music today, and what is his opinion. He was going at the last part of the interview, he was talking about what he thought of the industry, so we're going to let him complete that.
Well, my thoughts is that with technology today, technology enables people like me who have the talent and the know-how to have the opportunity to put our music out. And then it also opens up the doors for anybody else who could just learn the technology but don't have the greatest music to put their stuff out. And there's a lot of stuff out there that I think needs to go back to the drawing board, and I've had the same thing happen for me. Well, I've had to go back to the drawing board, but the greatest thing is that we don't have big powers over us telling us what we can and cannot do with our music. And we're in a position now as recording artists to control our own destiny. You know, now is the time for the artist, and there's no excuse for anybody who's got the talent to not get out there and build their brand and sell their music directly to the people.
Okay, that's right. I agree. Now it's the time to build your brand. And as an independent artist, I know you've toured worldwide overseas. What do you intend to perform next overseas or in America, or both?
Well, both, actually. I have a show coming up. I have a show coming up in Los Angeles on April 16th at a place called Vibrato's. I have a show coming up with Dennis Chambers in Baltimore, Maryland. That's going to be, I forgot the name of the place, but it's on May 2nd. It's May 4th. May 2nd is another show in Los Angeles at Catalina Bar and Grill, and I'm working on some dates for Europe as we speak. So I've been working on that all day. So I've got a few things happening. And with me doing everything myself, literally booking my own shows, running my own social media, recording my own records, mixing them, mastering, putting them out, and still having to be a husband and a father, there's only so much I can do in a day, so I have to really continue to practice the art of balance. So it's only so much I can handle in a day. So...
Yes, sir.
I literally do it myself. And for bookings, anybody looking to book me, they can reach me directly at FM Concerts. My initials, FM, the word concerts with an S, fmconcerts@gmail.com. Only reach out if you're serious about booking. Don't waste my time, because money we make over and over again, the time we're never getting back. So I'm very careful in who I give it to.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you gave some time to me. He also has website. It's called frankmcomb.info, but
yeah,
I'm spelling it out for people.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Frank, FrankMcComb, and there is where you can find a lot of information about Mr. McComb. Now, overseas, I know he's probably a sellout. Overseas, you know, this gentleman is very talented. He has not been given to me his due because he is super talented. I mean, he was in Finland January 26, 2019. In February, he was in Netherlands.
I get around. if I can share some information as well. It's a great thing that we have Spotify and Apple Music and iTunes and all these different places where people can get our music. That's a great thing, and I'm grateful for it. But when people go there and get music for us from us, they buy our music or download or stream our music, they get the music right away, but we recording artists get our music. We get paid for it 3 months down the line, if that. But I have a Bandcamp page where people can come directly to me. It's frankmcomb.bandcamp.com. That's FrankMcComb.band, like musicians, band, and CAMP, like Camping Outside, Bandcamp, frankmccomb.bandcamp.com. All my music is on that site, and it's my personal Bandcamp page. You can go there, download my music. You get your music right away, and I get the proceeds from it within 2 days. So I encourage everybody to support the artist and not the system. That's been my slogan lately, support the artist and not the system. So come straight to my Bandcamp page and get it directly from me.
I understand it. What is it like working with Chaka Khan?
Chaka was cool. It was like working with another musician, you know, because Chaka's a big music lover. So you know, she plays drums a bit, so she has a bit of rhythm. So she definitely understands the drums. She was really cool. Chaka was real cool. Yeah, Chaka. Tina Marie was another one, you know, musically inclined, so she understood music. So, you know, we could talk music with her. Whereas some artists, male or female, some artists don't really know musicians, know music so well. So they can't. We really can't relate to them as musicians. They can't relate to us. So they just sing.
Okay.
It's one thing to be a singer, and another thing to be a recording artist, a vocalist. You know what I mean? It's one thing to be a keyboard player, and another thing to be a keyboardist. One thing to know how to play the drums, and another thing to know how to beat the drums. You know, it's a skill. You know, you don't just do it. You got to have some kind of skill at it. You know, and. I can tell you, Chaka and Tina, they were very musically inclined, both of them. So they were fun to work with.
Yes, sir. You like Wonder and Mr. Donnie Hathaway all rolled into one with your own unique sound.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Those have been compliments. I appreciate it. But I want to let the record show, though, even though I'm compared a lot to those two, there's so much more in me. You know, I grew up listening
to
so many different artists, Oscar Peterson, Ramsey Lewis, you know, piano players, you know, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, George Duke. And then I listened to a lot of soul acts, too, man. I listened to Natalie Cole, People, Bryson, Parliament, Funkadelic, James Brown, Billy Preston, Ray Charles. I listened to a lot of stuff. And I just came up loving music. And when people stopped listening to music, I didn't. When music changed, I stayed true to the art of music. Even now with the Fender Rhodes piano, I love Fender Rhodes. But when people started playing the Yamaha DX7 and Korg M1 and all these other keyboards that simulated electric pianos, I kept carrying my old heavy Fender Rhodes from gig to gig. I still record with my Fender Rhodes. Yeah,
okay.
So I try to I try hard to stay true to the music.
So I know that you, a lot of famous people have met you, who you are famous also. You're famous also. What is it like when you met Mr. Bill Clinton, and was he president at the time you met him?
No, he wasn't president. He was out for a few years. But what I tell you, he was the coolest. He was the coolest. He was so cool. That dude there was so cool, man. We had a jam session at SIR in Hollywood. And my buddy Jimmy Rip, I was working with a guitarist named Jimmy Rip. He's a guitarist and producer. And he knew Mr. Clinton. And it was him and Stephen Bing, who was an independent filmmaker, an independent film producer, and some other guys, some old rockers, you know. And I was good friends with these rockers. And they called me up. They said, "Frank, you want to have a jam session in Hollywood tonight?" I was like, "Yeah, cool." They said, "Well, it's gonna be me, yada yada, such such. Bill Clinton's gonna come through, and yada yada yada." I said, wait, back up. You said Bill Clinton? You mean D. Bill Clinton? They said, "Yeah, he's gonna come blow the horn. He's gonna go." I was like, "All right, cool. I guess I'm in. Just Bill Clinton's gonna be there." So, he played the sax. He jammed with us the whole. That was a big band. It was a bunch of us, and man, it was definitely invite only. And he had just a couple of Secret Service men with him. You know, you're gonna always have those guys are always gonna have security, you know, for the rest of their lives. They're gonna have security. So, but it was so cool, man, because we got to ask him personal questions, and He said his favorite song by Stevie Wonder was called For Once in My Life. That was his favorite Stevie Wonder song. For Once in My Life. He was the coolest. Real nice guy.
So majority of your music is wrote, produced, and sang by you, am I correct?
Yeah. I would say 90% of my catalog was already was written by me. I've only done a few covers. I did a tribute album to the late great Donny Hathaway, and you know, most of the tunes were songs that he had recorded, and with one tune that I had written and recorded, I wrote and recorded the tune as a tribute to Donny. As a matter of fact, when I was working for Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff down at Philly International, and I had never recorded it until I did that record. But yeah, I've released a few remakes, but for the most part, 90% of my catalog, I would say, is mine.
Do you own your master?
Yes, gladly. Gladly own my own masters. I've got, I think I have like 15 records on the market. 13 of those records belong to me and my singles. They all belong to me. I have a catalog, and I'm proud to say I have one, too. Oh, yeah.
So basically, you constantly, yes, sir. Basically, you always like and performing from
always.
The sounds of things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And now my son is on the rise, too. He and I are writing together. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
we're
right.
Working on something right now. We're working on something right now for Mesa, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know I've interviewed Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he's a really intelligent man, I believe you may know him also.
Well, I don't know him. I met him. I was passing through the airport, and I met him, and we stopped and talked, and he got to asking about my music and stuff because I told him what I did. And we talked about 10 minutes, which is a lot of time for him, you know.
Yes,
and then he, of course, invited me down to the Push Coalition. So I went and checked it out for the first time ever. It was cool. I felt like I was in a black exploitation movie, but it felt great just to be personally invited by the Reverend Jesse Jackson to come to the Push Coalition.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many people could say they had that invitation in a day? How many people in a day could say that they were invited by personally invited by Reverend Jesse Jackson to come to a Push Coalition and hang? So,
no, I could not say
that.
I've interviewed him 3 or 4 times, but I've never been invited.
Yeah, you invited me that day.
That's nice. So if someone wants to book you, well, they would go to management@frankmacomb.info?
Actually, they can come right to me. It's fmconcerts@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, everyone.
Yeah.
All right. So the internet.
Because management
for a lot.
It really is. Management at frankmacomb.info will come to me as well, but fmconcerts@gmail.com will get to me. You'll get to me faster. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I by the way, I am management as well. So management, bookings, everything is done by yours truly. I do it all.
But before the internet really became huge, you were already you were already an independent artist, and you cut out the middleman and things.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of people say that I was one of the first people to take it as far as I've taken it. When first off, CDs were just really well. Let me go back. The internet was just really hitting the scene, and I watched someone bootleg a record that I recorded from Motown that wasn't supposed to be released. And I was in the UK when I found out they were selling them in the UK, and I had a concert in the UK. I was at the Birmingham Weekender opening for Incognito. And about 20 people came up to me in a room of maybe 100, just roughly guessing. And they had a copy of this CD. It was called the Motown Session. Now, I had already done my show, so Incognito was on. I opened for them. I'm signing autographs now. And I asked each person, how did they get it? And they all told me the same story, and they all told me roughly what they paid for it. It was all in the same ballpark, rounding it off to $50, which at the time was 25 British pounds. So this guy was selling my record with no artwork, wasn't mixed, wasn't mastered, and they were all CDRs. They were green on the back. And he's selling my record in the UK for $50, and I wasn't seeing any of it. So that was just my opportunity to start my own thing. I mean, it took for him to do what he was doing to me for me to see that that's what I should have been doing for myself. So I was really heated about it. Don't get me wrong, but then I thought about it. All he did was led me to the light. So I put some integrity with it later. You know, I went home first, and I made it even more raw than what he did. And I took 12 songs out of my studio, which is what I call my vault, and I burned them on a CD. I just burnt the CD. I was in a laptop, one by one, and I wrote on it, Frank McCormick, straight from the vault. And I played a few shows and told my story and sold the whole duffel bag full. I would have a duffel bag full. And I would sell the whole bag. And I would take the money from the road, take care of my family, and the money I made from the CDs, I put into making more CDs. And finally, that's when I put some artwork to my little record, straight from the vault, and I started selling it. And a lot of people got mad at me because, you know, they would write me and say, well, it's green on the back. They were mad because the CD was green on the back. Well, it wasn't a problem when someone else was selling my music and it was green on the back. So why is it a problem when the artist does it? So, and I told them, I said, what are you going to do with the music when you get it anyway? That's when iPods were coming out and becoming popular. You're going to put the music in your iTunes, take it off the disc, and put it on your iPod and play it in your car anywhere. So why are you complaining about what it's coming on? You know, like Barry Gordy said, it's what's in the grooves that matter. So you're getting the music. It's not like you're going to give the music back. So once you rip it and put it into your iPod, and then you say you want to send the music back, you really think I'm going to send you the money back? No. And
okay.
You got
okay.
the wrong one. So, but that's,
he had the wrong one.
How
okay.
I started. That, oh, he definitely had the wrong one. They all had the wrong one. Yeah. So, so that's how I started my little independent empire. But see, I think I was the first one, at least a lot of people come back and tell me that they believe I was the first one to actually sell a CDR, literally, internationally. I sold a hand-packaged record around the world, literally, for at least 8 years. From 2004 to 2012, what is that, 8 years. I sold a hand-packaged CD around the world. My wife and I would literally hand-package every single product by our bare hands. Packaging, artwork and everything, buying ink and printing the artwork from the printer, put the whole thing together, and would sell it through the mail across the world. Then the shipping began to cost like crazy. It went from being able to sell a package, ship a package from the USA to the UK, it went from maybe $5 to 11. It just doubled. And it just cost so much, and I was forced to have to sell the music for more than what I wanted to people overseas because I couldn't afford the shipping. I would lose the profit. So then, you know, okay. Technology changed, and it got to the point now, well, it's gotten to the point now as we speak that CDs are starting to go out and everything is a download. We're in a download era now. So now I'm trying to encourage people to go to my Bandcamp page and download the music directly from the artist. You know, directly from the artist. And then, you know, we have these download stickers that I get, and I bring those, and I try to tell people, you're going to download music from the internet. Why not download it from a car directly from the artist? You know, if you go to the internet, you're just making me wait longer, but you're getting the same music that I can sell to you directly, and I won't have to wait as long to get paid. You get your music instantly, I get paid instantly right there on the gig, you know? So make it fair for both parties. That's all I'm saying. So that's where I'm at. And I still have a few physical CDs, but for the most part, I'm trying to get everybody to download the music or get it directly or directly from me. You know, download it directly from me or, you know, get the cards directly from me.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I grew up in the time era of when I was 21 in 1991. So I remember a lot of things, Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff, Parents of the World, Nothing But Trouble, or something. I remember it came out, I think, during the summer. And the single was Parents of Nothing But Trouble or something like that by Will Smith and
Parents
DJ Jazzy. Parents just don't understand. I used to play that type of music. And say, well, I played some of everything. I never got to see any – the people that I wanted to see in concert, a lot of them I never got to see in concert, like Prince. I got to see New Edition, and I got to be an extra in the Bobby Brown film.
Oh, wow,
so,
that's cool.
Audience.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
That's cool.
That's the second time in my lifetime I've seen. And this time, two people down. But he doesn't know I was at the New Edition concert back. He doesn't. I'm just like thousands and thousands of other girls out there back then. But I was two people down, so I said, oh, my goodness, this is Bobby Brown. And I'm a big fan of Miss Whitney Houston, still a big fan of her. So what's next for you? So what do you see in your future? I said within the next 3 years.
That's a good question. I have to have a conversation with God on that one. I'm just hoping to still be alive in the next 3 years. So I'm hoping to have a really good discussion with the Lord on that one. I can say what I would like to see happen, even shorter than the next 3 years, to be honest with you. I can tell you what I'd like to see happen next week is connecting with the right booking agency that gets me. I like to connect with the right agency or agencies, IES, that get me. So that way I can focus more on playing music and not have to work so much on, you know, booking the dates and dealing with the administrative stuff. I enjoy doing it, don't get me wrong, but I just think it's time for somebody else to take some of it on. And let me just focus on playing music.
But
that's
they have
what I like to see
you
happen.
Mr. Frank McComb, they have to be able to get you and understand you.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's really, absolutely, and it's really not that difficult because you're dealing with a guy that's smart enough to know. Well, don't know. I have to be honest with you. Nowadays, don't nobody want to deal with anybody that's too smart. So, but you know, because I mean, if nowadays, think about it. I know the game enough. You know, I know enough of the game. So I need somebody that's secure enough and trustworthy enough that can come to the table and do the things I need done so I can lay back. I'm not going to be over your shoulder. You know, I'm not going to be all over your back, but I am going to watch what's going on, because if you don't talk to me, you'll fail at the job, because you could actually do something that could hurt me when I can actually do something that can help you to further us. Yeah, I'm not one of those dumb artists. I'm one of those artists that just don't do anything and sit back and leave everything on everybody else. Those are the ones that get ripped off.
No, you're highly intelligent. You're highly intelligent.
Thank you, Angela. And when I look at it like this, if you're not willing to work for me, then I feel you may have a motive. Just that simple. I mean, don't come work for me if you plan to steal from me, because I'm gonna watch. I'm not gonna be all over you, but I'm not gonna be stupid and just let you, you know. So, yeah. Don't work that way.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you going to release another album, CD, anytime soon? A new one?
Actually, I don't know. I think I might just focus on singles right now for the moment. I might just focus on singles. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to decide, because if you think about it, when you put out a record, only a couple of tunes are going to get attention. The rest of the record is just wasted great music, you know. So, but now, you know, think about it. Back when CDs were being sold, or, you know, those that are still selling, it's probably only one or two good tunes on the whole record. Everything else is just, quote unquote, fillers. I don't believe in putting out fillers.
Okay.
I want to put out a great body of work. Okay. When we were growing up, every song on the album was a good song. Not all of them were just pushed as singles, but it was still a great body of work, you know. I just believe in all the music being treated properly and getting the proper.
Okay, I'm going to play a snippet of one of your songs, Somebody Like You. I'm going to play a snippet of it, okay?
Go for it.
All right. Then I'll come back and we'll finish the interview, okay? Thank you.
Of course.
Nothing in this world.
Somebody Like You. You're listening to a gentleman who's worked with a lot of people. I'll put it this way, a lot of people have worked with him and met him. all right. So, okay, so what, you know, I've already said this already, but you have the sound between Stevie Wonder, this is Donny Hathaway, maybe even Mr. Well, no, maybe George Duke. But yet you have your own unique way and sound that it can't be labeled someone else's. You know, sound. You know what I'm saying? You have your singing is what I'm talking about. The singing, but you do have a lot of similarities to those other artists. And do you ever get tired of hearing that?
I never get tired of being compared to anybody great. I would never, never get tired of that. I think it's one of the greatest compliments anyone could ever give me, to be compared to anybody great. That's one of the greatest things anyone could say to me. Call me anything. You could say you know what? They could say I remind them of Kenny Ross. I would take it.
That's a great compliment to be compared to anybody great. So, no, I don't get tired. In fact, Najee himself told me that I reminded him so much of George Duke in character and in music.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can't beat that with a baseball bat, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I take it. Okay. I take it as a great, great compliment. I never get tired.
Angie Stone speaks highly of you. And like I said, Miss Gil Scott says that she's a pianist and that you're a miracle. He said he can play his behind off and can sing his behind off, and he has the nerve, the gal. He said you have the nerve and the gal to write his behind off. That was from the Jill Scott.
I remember that. Jill Scott.
She's speaking on you
said
with Frank
McCall. Oprah Winfrey's magazine. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, Oprah Winfrey's old magazine, straight from the vault, like straight from the rock. That was your third CD.
Yeah, it's my third CD. Wow. I'll never get tired of being compared to anybody great. That's one of the greatest things anyone can get. One of the greatest compliments.
Did you ever sing or perform or write for Miss Angie Stone?
No, we never have. I never have, but you know what? I would love to. She knows it too.
Okay.
I would love to.
Okay.
I would absolutely love to.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
But Ms. Jill Scott speaks highly of you. So I just wondered. That's why I was just curious. So what, Ms. Patricia Rushen, you know her, am I correct?
Yeah, Patrice Rushen, yeah. I've talked to her all the time. Yeah, I definitely know Patrice. Yeah, we worked together on it. Yeah.
I know you have on boobyscoot.com and CD Baby and iTunes, you have this song called Feeling Some Kind of Way featuring Najee and Avery, I believe, Sunshine.
Yeah, Avery Sunshine. But the thing with boobyscoot.com, I don't use it anymore because that was for physical CDs. I don't really push the physicals anymore. So I'd rather everybody just go to Bandcamp page, frankmccollum.bandcamp.com, get everything there. Yeah, download everything there because CDs, they cost a lot of money to make now, and they cost a whole lot of money to travel with now. So the airlines are really hitting us with the weight. So that's why I send everyone to my Bandcamp page, frankmccollum.bandcamp.com. Yeah, get all the music there. Boobyscoot.com is dead now.
Do you know what I found out after Prince died? That he was 5 foot two. I never knew
he was five
that.
Foot
I'd never
two.
Seen him
5 foot two. He was an inch taller than my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I never knew that
because he was so powerful.
I never talked to him about his height, his boots, Never talk to him about that because I didn't want to be fired from my job.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
I wasn't going there. Yeah, I couldn't go there.
Okay.
I just couldn't go there with him.
But as a fan, as a diehard fan, I didn't know that. I couldn't tell from the videos, the movies and things, and the internet and the CD. I could not tell, and I was shocked. I said, wait a minute, but you know what? He's gorgeous to me. He's a handsome man.
I never understood.
I loved his hair when it was long and curly and full. I loved his hair.
I never understood it, but he had his thing. Yeah, just think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How do you feel about the way the things that are happening here in America? And I'd like for you to be honest. If you don't want to talk about it, I understand with black men and women, everything that's going on here, what is your opinion about? Not going to politics, but I'll talk about the killings, the criminal justice system, the incarceration. What is your opinion about that?
I have to be perfectly honest with you. A lot of things that
I'm not pleased with, you know, that I see. I never really get into the conversations of politics because I never want anybody to try to lock me in on anything I said. And I don't mean those that interview me, but there are people out there that can be pretty cold and brutal and judgmental. Where I would probably say something and not even mean it in a certain way, but I'm getting in trouble for it because I said it. I don't want to be that guy.
Okay, I understand it.
So I stay clear of the politics, but I will say that there are a lot of things that go down that I don't really like, you know. But I am happy to see where in places that we were not respected in, like such as the Oscars, and you know, I'm happy to see our people coming up in certain areas. Let me just put it that way. And there are other areas where people are appointed but not anointed. And that's just the way the world system is. It is. It's just the way the world system is. And if I'm going to live in this world, I have to accept it as that's just the way the world's way of thinking is. And just not get myself involved in it. Live my life daily. Do what I need to do to take care of me. And pray for everybody else that just don't get it, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, and that's mm-hmm. out of respect, in respect. You know, I just don't like putting myself in a situation where I say something and I got to turn around and apologize for saying it, because in this day and age, people are so sensitive. You know, and
they are.
You know, bad enough we have the internet that's being abused, and people just have the freedom of saying what they want to say. And no consequences behind it, you know. So
yes,
I don't want to be.
Yes, I agree with that about internet.
Yeah, it's gotten out of hand.
Wi-Fi internet has some good things about it, but just because you post something on the internet, it should not have the power to destroy someone's life or career. You get what I'm saying?
And that's really sad. But you know, people losing their careers over their opinions. And I love my career, and I love my job, and I love what I consider my ministry, because what I do speaks to the lives of others. And I love it that much, and I love doing it that much, that I would rather keep my opinions to myself and my mouth shut and just live the life I have and enjoy it while I can, while I'm on this earth. I don't want to say nothing that's, like I said, that's going to have to cause me to go and publicly and shamefully apologize for something that I've said, or just let me do me. Let me create my own lane and stay in it. And
okay,
those,
I'll let
like
it go
said,
then.
That just don't, they don't get it.
Yes, sir.
I want to stay focused.
Yes, sir.
I'm in this world as a recording artist, musician, and not as a politician. And so I let them run their race in their lane, and I run mine and mine. So,
but that's my take.
No, it's not towards you, but I mean, and just in general, that's my take on that, Anne. That's
general.
My answer and my take on that. In general, that, yeah, there are some things I'm happy to see our people coming up in some areas, but I'm really disappointed because there are a whole lot of areas where we still need improvement. You know, and I won't be specific on areas, but, you know, just as a people, you know, and as a people, there are some people in positions of power that are appointed, but they're not anointed to handle their positions. So I'll just keep it vast. And I just keep it broad because I don't want to get in trouble.
I've never heard anyone say that the things on the internet might not be true.
Yeah.
Lately.
Mhm. Yeah, you know, people are really bold on the internet, bold enough to say a lot of things that, you know, it's you know, just society now. We've been given a little too much power to say and do and show some things that shouldn't be said, done, and shown. You know, it's a lack of control.
People's careers are being messed up, literally.
Yeah.
People lives.
Yeah.
Because of things that are on the internet, and that's something. I have an internet show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something I like to see. I try to show people like who they really are, positive, good things about people. And
of course, absolutely.
Because you know, when you read and look at something, you're like, wow, that's kind of harsh there. Kind of evil, you know, and it doesn't make any sense because all of that is not true.
Right.
Everything on the internet is not true, but yet they can take the littlest thing that is true and blow it up and destroy people.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I hate to put it this way, but if I want to get a whole bunch of followers, now mind you, I don't base my career on how many Instagram likes I get, how many followers I have here and there. Because you know, people can like me and
yes,
not
sir.
Even
you go out and
like me.
In other countries,
You can like my page, but not love me. You don't even know who I am. You know, so I don't base my life on the numbers that I see on the internet. You know, and I just think it's really sad that a lot of people may do that. That people do that as well. You know, I don't get caught up in those numbers and things of that nature. You know, there's people. You know, I mean, think about it. Najee, saxophone, legendary saxophonist. He's been in the game since 1986. I was 16 years old. But when you look at our Instagram numbers, I have more followers than he does. So don't base your life on numbers. That's what I try not to. I try not to do that because I'd be a really depressed, disappointed man if I did. You know, looking at my numbers with all the gift that I have, I would be so disappointed.
You can't go by what's on the internet because some of these people have been performing and writing and singing and playing instruments since 70s and 80s.
I don't get caught up in that. You know, really. And then there's some people who live their lives on social media. I've had people get mad at me because I didn't recognize them from Facebook. You know, you're my Facebook friend. Oh, I am? Yeah. Well, you're my Facebook friend. You don't recognize me from Facebook? Well, I don't spend my time all day on social media. I have a life and a lot of things to do outside of social media. I use my social media to promote. You know, I use my social media as a platform to tell people where I'm going to be. But it's really sad nowadays that I would probably get more likes and more follows and more followers and more attention to my social media if I put something bad up there about myself versus something good. If I was to say something bad about myself or say something rude about my son, daughter, wife, or just do something stupid that would degrade myself, I would get more attention to my social media pages doing something like that than to say, hey, I'm putting out a new CD. Hey, I'm playing at this club in D.C. I'm playing here. I'm playing there. It's really sad that people want dirt. They want gossip. They want the negative before they'll take something positive. You know, it's those kinds of things that I think just we as humans, just human mankind, period, should just improve on, you know. So, I mean, I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to bring down nobody else. I have my own issues, too. But I'm just merely saying, as a people, we look for the negative and feed off of that before we would the positive.
That's true.
Yeah. We feed off of exploitation.
People have depression, too.
Yeah, we feed off of exploitation before we feed off of exposure.
That's true.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's true.
If I exploited something, I think that's the best way. That's what I'm trying to say. If I exploited something about myself, exploited something really crazy, I would get more attention than exposing something great.
Yes, you're a natural talent. You're just talented. You know, Mr. Morrissey in the time, Prince, you, Mr. Frank McCone, and Mr. Lionel Richie, but you're not as old as Mr. Lionel, the Commodores, all these different talented men just are truly talented and smart. You know, you're talented. I mean, that's all I can say, just like Mr. Stevie Wonder, and so many others. I mean, you know what you're doing, and the way I see it, with all these people that you have worked with and who have worked with you, that says a lot right there. And then, like Ms. Jill Scott said, you had to have to carry the rock too. So I wish I could do all that, but I cannot. Okay, I'm going to get ready to end the interview because we only have like a couple of minutes. But what I like to know, and if this is putting you on the spot, just say, hey, I'm not going to do it. Would you like to sing?
No, I never do it in public. The only reason why I don't is because if I do it once, I'm stuck. I'm going to have to keep doing it for everybody.
Okay.
But you know what I always say to people? In a joking way, you know what I always say to people? Because that's my job, I have to have balance, and I don't just do it just on a whim like a jukebox. That's like saying, that's like meeting Mike Tyson and asking Mike Tyson to punch you in the jaw.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, too.
It's like, I've just never been one of those guys that just sang on the spot. But yeah, that's like saying, Mike, here's my jaw, man. Here's me. You know what I mean? That man can kill you.
All right. Okay.
No, but it's all
I'm
going
to have to end the interview, Mr. Frank McCone. You promised me an interview with you and your son, not just your son, when the time is right. So
yeah, when the time
is
right,
I'm going to hold you to that.
That's right. When the time is right, I will bring my son on. I got to make sure he got some stuff out there first. We're working on something with Mesa right now. So once we get that one out, we're working on two tracks for Mesa right now, for Mesa. And we're also working on tracks for Val B. King. Look out for that name, Val B. King. She's the granddaughter of blues legend B.B. King. So my son and I, we call him Skinny Kid Frank. That's his street name, Skinny. Skinny Kid Frank.
Okay.
Everybody knows him as that. So we're working on tunes for both of them. That's going to be his debut.
Right.
If he doesn't get a tune out on me first. So, yeah, that's my dude. So I promise you, once we get some music out on him, I will put him on the phone with you. We'll do an interview together.
All right. The show is getting ready. And God bless you. Thank you, Mr. McCone.
It's all good. Thanks, Angela. Take care.
Yeah.